Hey, finance folk. My name is Leidos Polubinskas, and I am your host today. Friends of the podcast already know that I am a big fan of sustainable finance. So we're going to talk about another facet of that, transition finance. The transition to a climate-neutral and sustainable economy by 2050 offers new opportunities for companies and citizens all over the EU. Thankfully, many companies and investors have already embarked on their sustainability journey, as the growing size of sustainable investment testifies. Count me among them. However, companies and investors are also facing challenges in this transition. Surprise, surprise, the EU is here to help. Today's pod is special because I've got two guests today, which is a first. I've asked Elodie Feller, Global Policy Lead at the United Nations Environment Programme Finance Initiative, to chat with me today. She's with the Platform on Sustainable Finance. The platform brings together the best expertise on sustainable finance from the corporate and public sectors, from industry, as well as academia, civil society, and the financial industry. I've also asked Sophie Ratnes, our expert in the EU Commission Sustainable Finance Unit, to help me understand what transition finance is, how it works, and where it leads. Normally, I do a cute and witty segue here, but let's just transition into our chat seamlessly. Elodie, Sophie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Thank you. Happy to be here too.
Cool. Let's jump straight into it. My first question is going to be for you, Sophie. I don't know much about this stuff, so just give me the basic stuff. What is transition finance?
Yes, before I delve into the topic of transition finance, I want to talk a bit about the context. So in 2019, the European Commission set up the European Green Deal. It is one of the six priorities of the European Commission under the presidency of Ursula von der Leyen. And with the European Green Deal, we have committed ourselves to become a climate neutral and resource efficient economy by 2050. But in order to get there, we also set an intermediate target of reducing our greenhouse gas emissions by 55% until 2030. And this is in comparison to the 1990 levels. So we are aware that in order to achieve this, we need to change our economies and the business models of our companies. And this will require financial resources. We have calculated that we will need around 700 billion euros per annum between 2021 and 2030 to reach these goals. Now, this is a huge amount of money that I'm talking about. And the public sector will not be able to face this challenge all by itself. So we need the private sector to help. The European Commission has therefore set up the Sustainable Finance Framework, which essentially helps the private sector to redirect its capital into activities that can help achieve the 2030 and 2050 goals. For those of you who may not be familiar with the term sustainable finance, it essentially means investing into companies while taking into consideration environmental, social, and governance factors, so ESG factors. So for example, as an investor, you would not only look at the financial return, but also whether a company is reducing its greenhouse gas emissions, for example, or has a good gender balance in its company board. So when we talk about sustainable finance, we often think about companies that are already environmentally sustainable. Here I'm thinking about a renewable energy company in wind power or solar power. But sustainable finance is actually a lot more than that. This is only a part of it, what we call green finance. Sustainable finance also recognizes that different companies and different sectors can be at very different starting positions in their journey towards sustainability. And supporting these companies in their transition towards becoming more compatible with the European Green Deal objectives is what we call transition finance. So in short, the EU Sustainable Finance Framework is not only about helping companies that are already green, but also helping those companies that have the motivation to become green in the future by setting credible plans and credible targets.
Ah, okay, I get it. So we're talking. Obviously, the amount of money that you mentioned is mind-boggling. But I think we're going to get to that a little bit later. So if I understand correctly, transition finance or transitioning to a sustainable economy and using finance for that is where the commission is going to help companies that want to go from not as sustainable models that they are in right now, but to plan and to prepare for the future in order to become green companies or sustainable companies, right?
Exactly.
Got it. Okay. So what is the commission created? What tools has the commission created to help these companies?
So last year in June, we actually published recommendations on transition finance, which you can find on the EU Sustainable Finance website. And these recommendations aimed to provide an overview of all the tools that we have available in our current framework to help companies with transition finance and attract more capital to projects that actually help with the green transition of reaching the 2030 and 2050 goals. Now, there are many different examples in these recommendations, but I will focus just on two examples. So first of all, we have the Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive, or as we like to call it as well, the CSRD. The CSRD is a directive that sets out sustainability reporting obligations for all large and listed companies in the EU. So these companies have to include environmental, social, and governance aspects in their annual financial reports. And the CSRD can help with transition finance because it includes a requirement that companies that already have a transition plan in place must also publish these so that investors and everyone listening can also see these.
I'm gonna let remind the audience that we have indeed done a podcast on reporting, which was also very interesting because it was so much new stuff that I hadn't known before. So look in the show notes. We're going to reference that so that people can go back to it and listen to it again.
Perfect. Thank you. So these plans will have to show how the company and its business strategy are becoming more compatible with the European Green Deal objectives in the future. To help these companies also set up these plans, we also have the ESRS, the European Sustainability Reporting Standards, which were published last year, and these help companies in having a standardized requirements for these transition plans. Now, the second example I want to mention is the EU taxonomy, which is a classification system that we set up to help investors identify environmentally sustainable economic activities. The EU taxonomy basically sets out performance criteria per economic activities to identify when they make a substantial contribution to one of the environmental or climate objectives of the European Commission. Now, to link the taxonomy and the CSRD, all companies that fall under the scope of the CSRD also have to report on the EU taxonomy. So they have to report whether their activities are included in the EU taxonomy and whether the activities meet the performance criteria that are set in the EU taxonomy. This reporting has to happen in the form of key performance indicators, so we like to call them the KPIs, for turnover, capital expenditure, and operational expenditure of companies. So with capital expenditure, I mean long-term investments, for example, in buildings, machinery, or equipment. And with operational expenditure, I mean more day-to-day expenses. The taxonomy is not only about showing the status quo of the company by disclosing the taxonomy-aligned revenue of the company, but it is also a target-setting tool by showing the taxonomy-aligned capital expenditures to show how the company aims to transition in the future.
Got it. Okay, now let's turn to Elodie. I'm always interested in how, I mean, like I'm interested in the legislation. I work for the commission, so of course I have to be interested in legislation. But I'm also interested in real life. So can you tell me how these tools that we've just been talking about, how do they work in real life?
Thank you. And thank you to Sophie for explaining also the terms and the context, because that allows me to dive straight into how that works not so much in real life, because I believe the commission also lives in the real life, but most importantly, from a market perspective. Mm-hmm. So how that works for those that have to apply those frameworks. 2023 was an important year for sustainable finance in the EU. For the first time, and Sophie started by mentioning that, companies across Europe have had to report their alignment with the EU taxonomy. Investors started their reporting against the Sustainable Finance Disclosure Regulation. The EU adopted the EU Green Bond Standard and finally also adopted the ESRS that you mentioned. You already have a podcast about the European Sustainability Reporting Standards. And these form the cornerstone of the EU Sustainable Finance Regulatory Framework. And it's a lot of new tools to navigate and to start using. So first thing we did in January 2024 as the platform on sustainable finance was to report on and evidence how this framework is helping financial and non-financial actors in the EU transition towards net zero. We gathered 37 market practices from 7 stakeholder groups, including companies, investors, banks, insurers, consultants, SMEs, and public sector entities, and exemplified how they were using the framework for their business strategy, for their finance and transactions, and reporting and assurance practices. And so I'll start now with the framework and how it's helping companies, right, with their transition planning. As we're talking about transition finance, it starts with how that works in the real economy and how companies use their own finance to transition their business and strategies. Sophie just mentioned turnover and capital expenditures. Well, last year, companies reported an average level of 18% of CapEx alignment with the EU taxonomy for a sample of 700 plus companies in the EU. Companies within the utility sectors have reported the highest level of CapEx alignment at 69%, which is already quite high and promising. So what does that mean? That percentage of alignment suggests that a significant portion of EU's capital investments is directed towards projects and initiatives that contribute to environmental sustainability and the transition to the net zero emission target by 2050. Coming back to the context and the goals of the EU that Sophie mentioned. And so in that sense, the EU taxonomy provides an incredible measure for companies to plan and to demonstrate their transition in money values. And what we want to see strategically and in the coming years is this percentage of CapEx to grow and to turn itself into green revenues over time. And not just for the utilities sector, but across all sectors of the economy. In fact, we see early signs of mainstreaming of companies' CapEx in their strategic transition planning. We found that over 600 companies in the EU have already referenced taxonomy KPIs, key performance indicators, such as turnover, CapEx, and operational expenditures in their financial planning and transition plans. And one last example, important example that I want to mention that you can find in this report, in this compendium, relates to supply chains. Because achieving the transition is not just an agenda for large companies or large investors. And to be successful, the EU Sustainable Finance Framework needs to reach all the way to SMEs and retail customers. And so in the compendium, we show how companies are starting to use the framework to encourage the adoption of science-based targets of sustainability practices to support their supply chains, for them to initiate and manage their own transition in a proportionate fashion, obviously, considering the different sizes of the players that we're talking about.
I'm really glad that you mentioned that this isn't just a thing for big corporations, for the big guy, because usually when we think about business reform or things like that, it's almost always touching the big guys who can afford to do it, right? But I'm a really, really big fan of SMEs because I know that A, they're the backbone of the economy, and B, I know quite a few small business people who are going to be interested in these things. And definitely, if they haven't already started transitioning to being more green, being more environmentally responsible, they're definitely going to be doing that in the future. You also mentioned that there's examples of this already happening. Could you give me some of those examples?
I can give you examples because we're talking about transition finance. And let's dive into the finance, which is the finance institutions component and how they're using those tools. Because, for example, starting with banks, banks play a central role in supporting the real economy transition because they finance the SMEs. They finance the households, right? They finance mortgages. And so I have an important role to play, for example, in energy efficiency, in achieving the energy goals for different sectors. And through the market practices, what we found is that the sustainable finance framework provides a common denominator, common language for banks and their business clients, but also SMEs, right? Because over 30% of banks' balance sheets are made of SME lending. So this is extremely important. They have the same language. So to provide this common denominator, to have a conversation on decarbonization and on the transition of business activities. The market practices also show, for example, and this is associating frameworks together, right? So that the EU taxonomy, CapEx plans of companies associated with transition plans of companies, they provide together a useful tool for banks to assess how far their clients are in the transition, where they're starting from, what is the baseline, where they need to go. They provide forward-looking targets to assess the bank's clients' preparedness and to support them throughout this journey. The report, and this is talking about the big guys, the investors, right? The report also provides case studies showing that investors are starting to use the framework. The EU taxonomy, of course, but mainly the sustainable finance disclosure regulation. And they find it complementary to their net zero targeting setting strategies because it helps them assess the investee company's net zero transition. In fact, funds, investment funds, disclosing under Article 8 and 9 of the SFDR, the Sustainable Finance Disclosure Regulation, now account for 56% of total EU fund assets. So over half of EU investment funds aim for a sustainability objective. And importantly here, they're also able to evidence such objective. And this is quite new for the sustainable finance framework. And finally, for investors, the EU framework provides the credibility to support investors' shareholder engagement strategies. And we see in the compendium that it's crucial for investors to have the right tools to engage with their investees because an investor portfolio, just like a bank balance sheet or a bank portfolio, only transitions as far as their underlying companies and underlying clients. And so they need to be able to have this conversation as financiers and as shareholders using those common tools. Finally, and I mentioned the EU Green Bond Standard earlier, the compendium looks into how use of proceeds green bonds that are issued by 32 public entities. So we provide a survey and responses of 32 public entities in the EU. And it analyzes how they're progressively aligning with the EU taxonomy. Why is this important? Because public sector issuers are not in scope of the regulatory framework. However, they're heavily financing and co-financing, promoting green activities in the EU. And the compendium describes clear evidence of supranational, national, municipality entities that are already starting to use the EU Sustainable Finance Framework and the EU taxonomy on a voluntary basis. So really, this is showing that the framework in the compendium is being used all the way from the top with investors, banks that are the financiers, supporting the conversation with their clients and investee companies. And it is starting to link up also with those that are not in scope of the framework, but want to use it voluntarily and send the signals that this is how the EU framework should be used by all entities across the EU.
Okay, I think I got that. And I noticed that you mentioned the word conversation several times. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like the overarching theme here is that the commission and the industry and the platform are coming together to basically put everybody on the same page using the same dictionary, and so that the conversation is equal in the sense that everybody knows what they're talking about, and the person on the other end, the other side of the table, understands because they're the same terms, right? I mean, the conversation becomes an equal conversation between all sides.
Absolutely. It's a conversation that is starting with the challenges of the transition. And it is a climate transition that we're talking about, but also an environmental and social transition, right? And so the tools that the framework provides today enable banks, investors, SMEs, customers such as households to have a meaningful conversation, mm-hmm. but also the right framework to talk together.
Cool. I love it when I get stuff right. Now I'm going to ask my traditional last question, and I hope that I get satisfying answers, because usually the answers are, oh, well, this is going to be happening several years from now. So, Sophie, I'm gonna go to you first. What are the next steps?
Well, now that we have a sustainable finance framework in place, we're more focusing now on its effective implementation for the financial and the non-financial sectors. So the Commission is at the moment focusing on providing more guidance on interpretation and the application of the performance criteria of the EU taxonomy, which I mentioned at the beginning, and also on the reporting obligations for the financial and non-financial companies. So with the help of our expert group, the Platform on Sustainable Finance that Elodie is part of, we will help the sectors to address usability issues of the taxonomy and of the broader sustainable finance framework.
So this is already now. It's happening now.
It is happening now.
Satisfying answer. Elodie, what's your answer to that same question? What are the next steps, especially from the platform side?
Thanks. And just a point before I go to the next step. So I think importantly for this report, right, for the Compendium of Market Practices, we mentioned, you know, everything that's happened in the last couple of years, but actually it builds on really 6 years of evolution of the agenda. And so this is why it's important, because it reports and evidences how this is being used for an agenda that is shifting really from promoting transparency and standards into a framework that is much more holistic, inclusive. I mentioned again the SMEs and the households. So we're trying to reach the value chain. And it's trying now to promote transition efforts and sustainability performance in a forward-looking fashion. So we really are building on a lot of efforts from the Commission to focus on impact. Indeed, double materiality is fully embedded across the framework. And this is something that the platform wants to promote and wants to support the market with. So to the report and next steps, it showcases positive signs of adoption. And I mentioned some of those. But also it acknowledges challenges associated with it. It's a lot to take. It's a lot to adopt in such a short period of time. Companies, banks, investors, SMEs are facing challenges in using the EU taxonomy, but also the rest of the framework, because we're early days and it's complex. And so what we have as the platform is a mandate to support the European Commission and market participants to help address those usability challenges. And so responding to the points that Sophie just made. In the report, we set out 7 priorities that we intend to work on this year and to report against by the end of the year. I invite anyone that's interesting to learn more, of course, to read the compendium.
And most importantly, we will definitely put in a link to that into the show notes.
Thank you. So please read the compendium. But most importantly, please reach out and help us improve and advance the transition framework for sustainable finance in the EU. We are a group of experts that are very much interested in learning from the experiences of market participants out there. And I think this is a call for everyone to be part of this conversation.
Great. Wow. Okay. Thank you so much for coming to the pod today. Sophie, Elodie, thank you very much for joining me today. And thank you for the explanations.
Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you very much also from my side.
Okay, here's my take on this. The EU's aim is to ensure that the EU sustainable finance framework supports companies and the financial sector while encouraging the private funding of transition projects and technologies. The Commission aims to ensure that the sustainable finance framework can be used by companies that are seeking or providing financing for projects needed for the transition to sustainability. It's a holistic approach. In a nutshell, what the EU is doing is promoting transition finance by providing companies, irrespective of their starting points, with tools and support for their transition efforts towards sustainability. For a deeper dive, head to the show notes for a link to even more information. That's it for today. Thanks for joining me. Do please tell others about the podcast. Like and subscribe. Bye!